James chapter 4. Yes, here we go. Okay, and James chapter 4. From whence comes wars and fightings among you? James says. Okay, come they not hence even your lust at war in your members? Might not have the word members there, because we're talking about is concerning the moral code and that which is in rhythm with your signature. Okay, the moral code and that which is in rhythm with your signature. The conflict comes between these two kingdoms. Okay. When grace is present, okay, do we wrestle for faith? Okay, or do we, okay, you can say to maintain your faith, or do we struggle against or try to censor? Okay, that's where the you can say the conflict begins to come in. You want to say anything about that, the wrestling of grace, the grace of God? Because I know that.
That's a lesson that simple faith lesson that's very early in the course, teaching believers how to take that which God gives them and build their understanding with it. Understanding that Satan comes to resist faith, but that God will always be there to reward your faith when you yield to the Spirit. Mm-hmm. He's there to give you understanding. Satan's there to resist your understanding. Mm-hmm. When you take that which the Spirit gives you and say, yes, I believe this, and not struggle in your, this doesn't make sense to my logic, it's not what I'm familiar with, it doesn't feel comfortable, that's, and then asking God to prove it, that's wrestling against the grace of God. That's not wrestling for it. Mm-hmm. So when we say wrestle with the grace of God for faith, it means to take that understanding that the Spirit is giving you, because it's there, and say, yes, I believe that. It's necessary for you to do that. Mm-hmm. And then watch what happens, because then the Holy Spirit is going to build and say, Lord, give me more. I want more of this understanding. Then when Satan challenges that which the Spirit just gave, because he's going to come to rob you of that, say, no, I believe that which the Spirit has given me. There you're standing in it. You're standing in your confidence. God gave you that for your confidence. You can trust in it. You can stand in it. And you can build on it and have all confidence that when you go to the Lord, he's going to give you more. Build on that, and pretty soon you look back after a week and say, wow, I have grown in my understanding because I took that which God mm-hmm. gave me mm-hmm. and I worked with it. So that's what we mean when we say wrestle with the grace of God.
All right, not to censor but to embrace.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Right, not to censor but to embrace, right. Okay, so he says the word members there. Okay, and this, of course, he was just talking about the fruit of righteousness, the sown in peace, and them that make peace. Okay, but now we see another, the Apostle James is bringing to our attention this other element, or struggle, conflict, contradiction. Okay, that war in your members. Okay, and where does this come from? He says in verse 2 here, you lust, and that's the drive of the God code. Okay, the drive of the God code can be directed in two different ways. Okay, the God code, if you use it with the flesh, okay, then with that, okay, you're wrestling against the grace of God. Okay, and you're censoring, but the God code works with faith. Okay, then you're wrestling against the censorship and embracing the grace of God. Okay, just the opposite. But he says right here in verse 2, you lust and have not. Okay, so you're using the drive of your own nature. Okay, the God code with your own nature in order to try to achieve your goals, and that's going to be derision. And this is why he says you kill and desire to have. So instead of sowing peace, you sow discord. Okay, instead of sowing peace, you sow discord. Okay, because you're trying to resolve the conflict, the puzzle with your own conscience. Okay. Okay. So it goes on. Your lust that you war in your members. Okay. So the word war has to do with an aggressive manifestation. That's what a war is. It's an aggressive manifestation. Okay. So you lust and have not. Okay, you kill and desire to have, that's the drive of the God code, and cannot obtain this. You cannot find that equity for peace. And yet you fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. Okay, okay, and this is your petitions. Okay, are you petitioning only to resolve the issue? Okay, you're petitioning in order for clarity, okay, to build. Okay, there's two different ways to look at that. Okay, well, they're asking just to resolve the issue, but they're not asking for the clarity. Okay. So instead of embracing the fight against the thief, okay, you're censoring and working with the thief to steal your faith. Okay, you ask and receive not. Okay, because you ask amiss. Verse 3 there. Okay, that means the motivation, the moral code. Amiss means the motivation, the moral code. we want to stand in confidence of the perception of the throne, see? We don't want to stand in confidence of the perception of man because that's deceptive. Okay? And this is what Paul brings out in Galatians and regarding his perception. Okay, if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Okay, so that to please man is to stand in that perception, okay, and to be agreeable with his conflict. To stand in his perception and to be agreeable with his conflict, okay, okay, is the gospel of man. You're standing in that, you're standing in his light. If you stand in the light of man, okay, then you're struggling against the grace. But if you stand in the grace of God, okay, then what you're doing is you're opposing that kingdom. You're saying you have to bow the knee. Jesus Christ is not going to bow the knee to your logic. Your logic must bow the knee to Jesus Christ. Okay, it never will go the other way. Okay, this is because, is God proud? No, God's a standard. Okay, because He is a standard, and that we have assigned ourselves to be crucified with Him, we have to stand in that same confidence, that confidence of light, don't we? Okay? So that we're no longer, okay, standing in a confidence of man, but we're standing in the power of God. And this is what Paul said. Okay, that a gospel which we preach to you, okay, is not to that which is man's flattery or wisdom, okay, but in God's power. Okay, but if you take the knowledge to stand with man's perception of logic, it's always going to struggle against the grace of God. Okay, so the adversary is going to wound or rob you. This is what Jesus warned about. Okay, that when this man was sowing the knowledge, okay, the wicked one came and robbed it. Okay, the robbing again has to do with the standing in the perception of man, okay, which is weak. The perception of man is weak. Okay, the perception of man is also very prejudiced, okay, and it will fight against the grace of God. So if they frustrate the grace of God, what's going to happen to you? You're going to feel that same frustration. Okay, when you feel that same frustration, it's that you're coming against that spirit. Okay, when you feel it, now this is another form of discernment for you. When you're sharing your faith with people, okay, and you're feeling frustrated, okay, what's happening here?
They're resisting grace.
That's right. There's a resistance of grace, right? Okay, there's a resistance of grace there. They're resisting. They're frustrating the grace of God, okay, by setting up obstacles of logic, okay, to try to resolve it. They want you to bow the knee to the logic. Okay, if you don't bow the knee to logic, they call you then, of course, proud. Okay. Okay, but we stand in the grace of God. And this is, because we stand in the grace of God, we can see that Satan again wants to impose his principle upon God's kingdom. Okay, he did that in the seventh heaven, he wants to do it to you. Okay. So you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, the motivation of that, that you may consume it upon your lust, or to add value to your boasting. To add value to your boasting. Now this is what James calls them. He says, you adulterers and adulteresses. Okay, now that's the same language the prophet Jeremiah uses. Okay, you adulterers and adulteresses. Okay. In other words, you're trying to take the knowledge of God. You're trying to lay claim to the God's interest, but at the same time, you're engaging with this other spirit out here. Can you see what I'm saying? You're saying you stand for the house of God, but you're out on the street. You're on the street, okay? Adulterers and adulteresses. Know you not that the friendship, there's that key word there. So what I did is I drew a line from the word friendship of the world to the word members up there in verse 1. Okay, the friendship, okay, that means you're trying to exchange ideas of the knowledge of God's kingdom, okay, with those which are very base. Okay, the base, the wild, the tame, the untamed, okay, and they're going to insist that you submit yourself to them. You see this in the animal kingdom. Okay, the animal kingdom being untamed, okay, continually aggresses, okay, for the purpose of domination. Okay, mostly when you're feeding the Dossies out there, okay, they're, all of them are hungry, but they will fight each other, okay, in order to gain the prize. Okay, but he says, but in God's kingdom, that's not the way it works. Okay, okay, the friendship of the world. Okay, is the enmity with God. See how hostile it is. Okay, and there's three things which James is bringing out, which is the same thing that Paul brought out. Okay, concerning envy, strife, and division. Okay, envy, okay, concerning callings. Strife, regarding the knowledge. Okay, division, okay, and regarding, you say, the seditious, seditious of opinion. Okay, we'll go on here. So this is why I use the word envy right here. Okay, because it's to compete, like emulation. Emulation is to form a compete, to compete, to rival, okay, to assert, okay, to assert oneself to be equal to or to be equal to or to supersede that, okay, like variance. Okay, the spirit of variance, okay, is to stand to oppose, to be like to stand to oppose, to rival. Okay. Whereas in emulation, okay, there's certain things that you're simulating to compete with. Okay. Do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit that dwells in us lusts to envy? So highlight the word spirit there. Okay, and of course he's talking about the human spirit. Okay. The Holy Ghost doesn't envy. But the human spirit, because you can draw a line from the word spirit there to word members to the word friendship of the world. The human spirit constantly wants to rivals in order to find its place, own place value. It rivals to find its own place value. It begins with siblings, okay, and it's manifested in the workplace, everywhere you go. Okay, it begins with the siblings, the same family, and you enter, and that. That form of prejudice is nurtured and brought right into the workplace, okay, to where you begin to compete right with the person right next to you. Okay, unknowingly you do that. It's this form of habit to where you don't even think anything wrong with it. Okay, but it's a drive. Okay, it's using the God code with the human signature. Okay, in order to match or to overcome them. Okay, so the spirit that dwells in us lusts to envy. It wants to compete. The spirit that dwells in us, the human spirit, lusts to envy. Okay, another way to say it, the power of God code, or to use the power of the God code to be superior. Okay, to be superior to, or to, okay, or to be equal with. And that's just what Satan wanted to do in heaven, the seventh heaven. Okay. Satan was rivaling God, and he wanted to bring God to the point, okay, of accepting, okay, of you say more or less accepting his aspiration or his rule, okay, for the to be added within his plan, okay, or even to compete with Adam, okay, that's what Satan was doing. Okay? Well, that same kind of spirit is manifesting itself to all the sinners today. Okay? This is why we have to be re-educated. We have to be re-educated so that we don't resource that same spirit and bring into the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus said the same thing. Okay, when he says, in the world you have the benefactors, but it should not be so among you. Those which are the greatest rule, okay, but among in my kingdom, okay, those which are greatest serve. Because why do you serve? Because I'm going to give you that measure of grace to serve with. Okay, so those which are greatest among you will be servant to all. Which means I will be giving you the knowledge in order for you to set the plates out. That's what Jesus is saying to his apostles. Okay, but in the man system, those which are greatest want to be served. But in my kingdom, those which are greatest will do the serving. I'll give you that grace for the purpose of service. Okay, the spirit that dwells in us lusts to envy. Okay, verse 6. But he gives more grace. Okay, that's what I was just talking about. But he gives more grace. Okay, so God issues, okay, these supplements, okay, for those which are in service for the purpose of increasing the whole body. But he gives more grace. Wherefore, he says this, God resists the proud. Okay, and the proud, and so if you highlight the word proud there, you can draw a line to the word proud to the word lust in your members. Okay, you're establishing a different standard within the members of your own signature. Okay. You're using your prejudice, okay, as a fulcrum, okay, your prejudice or your own truth, your own record, okay, you're using that as a fulcrum or a scale, Okay, you're using that as a scale to measure your reality with. Okay, okay, as long as you remain within that parameters, okay, or that environment, it seems very favorable and it's working for you. Okay, so if you're born in an Islamic nation and you're Muslim, okay, then you're resourcing that knowledge deck and that particular kingdom. Okay, you become very acquainted and very familiar with that system. So it works for you to advance within that rank. Okay, so he says this has to be God because it's working for me. Okay, but that's the scale. Okay, of your own prejudice that's working within that system. Okay? That's not the kingdom of God. It is this scale that's proud. Okay, it is this scale that's proud. Okay, not the scale of Christ. The scales of Christ, okay, are continually, okay, what we use the scales of Christ for the purpose of, okay, the challenge, okay, the challenge, and that we will continue to build with that, and not the other scale, which is which holds inequity. So let's read verse 6 again.
Eric,
yeah.
Sorry. You talk more about the scale, about proud and about grace. Can you measure it?
Can you measure it?
Yeah.
You mean this scale right here? You mean the scale of man?
You say, you know, about you put it on the scale of proud and grace.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes you feel like getting grace from God when you have a dream or you have a vision and the whole thing. But I am definitely not completely free of my own proud, of my own fleshly works.
Okay. Right. Let me explain something here. Okay, on this scale, grace is proud. I mean, this guy right here, on this scale, will say grace is proud because grace will not bend. Okay, it will not bend nor weigh. It does not weigh equity within the perimeters of my experience of life. So they call grace proud. But on God's scale of truth, okay, when an individual tries to weigh their aspirations on it, there's an equity there. Okay, so therefore, the proud resist the grace. It's a proud resist grace. And now concerning you, okay, this just has to do with the work of regeneration. Okay, that's all. What you're explaining, this has to do with the work of regeneration. Okay, so the Lord is removing, or you say, the imprints of these tokens to the work of regeneration.
Yeah, the measure is still Christ. Is it not Christ, that grace, was it not Christ? So what you're doing is you're factoring those things that God still has to heal within your soul onto the scale. So don't do that. Just measure Christ only.
We're not called to measure. We're not called to weigh these things. We're called to
measure
to
Christ. So the measure of Christ will never change, and that's the perfect weight and the perfect measure and the perfect rule. So the measure is Christ. So that the grace is Christ. That's the perfect measure. The priesthood, when you're operating your priesthood, that's measured to Christ. It's perfect. So don't put anything of your soul that still needs to be healed. Don't put that on the scale. Don't measure it. God's not measuring it.
Then is it also not necessary to mention it to me? Then you don't also, then you also don't need to mention it.
Right.
No, that's right. That's right. Your conversation doesn't center around the lack, it centers around the prophet. Mm-hmm. The prophet, not prophet of the world, but they say the prophet of God's work.
Yeah,
so we don't reflect on, we reflect more on what God has regenerated in our soul and not what he's still going to regenerate, because that's his business. We've got to just reflect and mold with what the increase that he's giving us.
Right. Because our perceptions are very narrow, okay, and very shallow. Narrow and very shallow. Okay, and the work of God though is very deep and very broad. Okay. So it would be more or less, we'd be standing in a lie, okay, if we try to say that we're trying to weigh all these things, because it is you cannot do it. It's impossible.
Yeah, okay. I thought about it, because you said it's a scale.
A scale.
And a scale is for me something to measure on.
Right, and you measure what you see. So if you only see Christ, then what are you measuring?
Christ.
And that's why faith teaches you by patrimony the things of your Father, the inheritance of his kingdom, the things of his Spirit. God's teaching you to measure only Christ, because he says, that's what I'm measuring. And so he keeps bringing you into alignment. And that's why all of the tokens, he's teaching us to see only him. And that doesn't mean that that gives us a license to do as we please, because mm-hmm. faith is that we see him. So if we see him, then mm-hmm. then your faith continues to stay in the same weight, measure, and rule.
Well, that's our testimony. Okay, we want this to be our testimony right here, not this. Mm-hmm. Okay. But because Christ is working within you, as this brother up here, okay, all this stuff right here, this Apostle Paul says, I count but dung, that I may win Christ. Okay, of course, winning Christ is, this is the crown. The crown is regeneration. Mm-hmm. Okay, but God is not asking you to evaluate these things, because these things right here are far too mm-hmm. it's far too deep, far too broad. You can't even mm-hmm. fathom it. Okay, the influences. Okay, so we just keep the window shut, and this window is shut, which means our communication of things in the world is now ended, and we continue to communicate Christ. Right, you're praying in the Spirit, you're offering your sacrifices. Okay, and your fellowship centers around this building. This is a building. Okay, and not the tearing down. This is a tearing down. The presence of death tears down, and the Spirit builds up and gives life.
Yeah, because it's a process, we have to continually enter into that expression. And that's what the priesthood is, and that's why our cycles of growth are important, because every time the grace of God enters within the heart, because the challenge presents itself, and then we respond in faith, then we're holy. Then that's the light that we stand in, but we continue to enter into that. We look for that, and we continue to enter into that, and, you know, it's concerning mm-hmm. our rest and holiness.
Yeah, because when Christ is the scale that we focus on, that's when our hope is bright. Because if we focus on the scale of our lack or what needs still to be done, then there's despair.
Mm-hmm.
But Christ brings hope to the heart.
Okay, I think there's another thought.
Keep the scale away.
Right, we'll move the scale
right
completely.
The scale.
Right, that's being crucified.
The road with the scale, because mm-hmm. they only focus on the work of God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what
and that is what actually I was actually meant to be, you know. That was
mm-hmm.
actually my question. And I don't even want to work with
the Spirit. Right, but see, the accuser of the brethren constantly wants to challenge your conscience. You know, also standing in your own justification.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, probably standing in your own justification, yeah?
I think that having the scale concept is really helpful, because while you're not concentrating on your frailties, you know when Satan's trying to tip that scale.
Mm-hmm.
You can feel that. And so what you do is you counter it by faith. You begin to reflect on the things of Christ. And that tipping is gone. So then now you're focused as Christ. And you're not being swayed by the finger of Satan's accusations.
Mm-hmm.
He has to let go of this scale. If you focus on Christ, Satan cannot keep his finger on that scale. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
You can feel it.
Well, that's what he says here.
Mm-hmm.
He'll flee from you. Right? It's kind of difficult to keep your finger on a scale when you're running at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You know that? Right, yes, right. Satan is accused of the brethren. Being accused of the brethren, okay, that's why God does not accept any of the accusations that Satan brings before him in the seventh heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's the same thing. If God burns the accusations of Satan, then what is also our duty? To ignore them, to burn them. Okay, we have to take that same perspective, and this is what Paul was talking about. Okay, and regarding his own struggles. Okay, okay. Well, let's read on here then. See what else we can learn. But he gives more grace. Wherefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Okay, those which are labor, the humble also labor, while the proud stand in their justifications, false justifications. So he says, submit. So at this altar, submit yourselves therefore to God. Okay, use the things of the Spirit. That's why he's saying, because God is a Spirit. Submit yourselves therefore to God, because God is invisible. So how can you possibly submit yourself to something you can't see? Okay, well, you can't. See? So here we know James is speaking of regarding the tokens of the altar. And so by this, as when he was bringing out, resist the devil by at the altar with the tools, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God. Okay, now there's a draw nigh to God, which means this is like a mating season. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. He'll be joined to you, okay, at this altar. Okay, and at the altar, what are you supposed to do? Cleanse your hands, you sinners. What are you touching? What are you touching? Say, don't touch the unclean knowledge. Okay, you don't have to handle Satan's accusations to try to find any kind of reason for it. Okay, because everything that Satan's going to be accusing you of, okay, again, has to do with trying to beset you, okay, from your focus or trying to redirect your attention. Okay. If God took every accusation which Satan was bringing before him, okay, in other words, if God had all these volumes of accusations, then where would he have time for you? He wouldn't have time for you. Okay, so God says, just burn them. Okay, just burn the accusations. You know, Satan is trying to oppose his will upon God by writing all these volumes of books of accusations. God says, just burn them.
It's like spam, sounds like, you know.
Yeah, right, that's right. Satan keeps spamming him, and God has blocked them. Okay, so draw nigh to God as a mating season, and he will draw nigh to you, be joined to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Okay, don't touch the unclean thing. In other words, you don't have to pick up those things which Satan is accusing you with. Okay? And purify your hearts. There it is, you double-minded, which has to do with the state of your conscience. By faith, your conscience is pure. And that's what you want to keep. You want to keep your conscience pure. And your conscience is pure as you reflect upon what God revealed to you. Okay? You reflect upon this knowledge, you build with this knowledge. Okay? You don't want to dilute the solution. Okay? The solution. You don't want to dilute it. If you dilute too much, it will make it unprofitable. So be afflicted and mourn. Okay, that means you, the moral code, which always steal for equity. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter of the folly be turned to mourning of loss. Okay, and your joy to heaviness. Okay, it has to do with the shouting of your aspiration is reduced by the voice of grace. Humble yourselves. Okay, that means remove your boast by faith. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord before His eye at the altar. And he shall lift you up by his grace. Yeah, that's, of course, my note there. He will lift you up by his grace. He will honor you. Okay, not the honor of the world, but he will honor you. And he will provide gifts for you. In verse 11, James says, speak not evil one of another. Now that's something you should underline. Okay, because charity builds, doesn't it? Charity builds. Now why would one speak evil one of another? Because you're going back over here, considering that you want to establish equity within your own logic, okay, or within your own system of thinking. And you want to find reason for things, because that's the God code in you. Okay, but God says, but I don't want you to use that. I don't want you to use the God code for the flesh. I want you to use the God code for the spirit. Okay, if you use the God code for the flesh, okay, then this is what's going to happen. Conflict is going to rise. Okay, competition, emulation, variance, envy, strife, and division. And of course, he brings it out in Thessalonians. I want to read my note there in Thessalonians there. Yeah, I'm going to turn to Thessalonians here for a second. Envy and strife and division. Okay. All right, and that's in Second Thessalonians. Okay, where he talks about disorderly. And we commend you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that with your joy yourselves and every brother walks the story and their tradition. Okay, and then he goes on here about concerning envy and strife and division. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Oh, unreasonable. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of God may have free course and be glorified. Now I'm in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I made a note here. I'm just looking for this here. Okay, well, I'll just be on verse 3 here. Pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. Okay, and be glorified even as it is with you. See the word glorified there. Okay, well, over here, James says right here, when you speak evil one of another, you're diminishing the capacity of that growth. Okay, but when you're glorifying, which means when you're exchanging a fellowship, then there's building up, okay, as Paul brings out here. That we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Okay, unreasonable and wicked men. I thought that was interesting. Unreasonable, which means whatever you say to them, they're not going to assess it or value it in any manner. They're not going to assess it and value it, or they're not going to value it. They're not going to accept it. Okay, the wicked men, for all men have not faith in Christ. That means they will refuse it, just to refuse it. I have a principle. Okay, the Lord, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Okay, the faithful means the consistencies of His grace will continue to protect you and shield you, okay, from the effects of false knowledge. We have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord will direct your heart, okay, into love of God and a patient waiting for Christ. Okay, and this is where we got in verse 3 here. But those three words right there, which I was bringing out, envy, strife, and division, okay, which has, again, the envy is to compete, has to compete. The strife, again, has to do with the strife of knowledge, okay, and also the division, which has to do with the seditious of separation. Okay. And he calls it disorder. Okay, well, let's go back to James here. I'll find that again. Okay, but anyway, submit yourselves therefore to God and resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. Verse 7.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, okay, if you have to begin to seek God, you're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset, and you're going to have to seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today, and continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek Him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Okay, but envy and strife and division. The envy has to do with the person they're calling. The strife has to do with strife of words and doctrine. You see, and divisions have to do with groupings. Okay, because those of a feather flock together. The logic flock with the logic. The righteous flock with the righteous. The wicked flock with the wicked. Okay, just like the Dossies with the Dossies, and the Bushbucks with the Bushbucks. Okay, right. And you notice that too, the guinea fowl. They hang out together all the time. They don't find any kind of fellowship there with the other birds there. The pheasants.
They
don't hang out with them. Even though I saw one of the babies one time.
Seagulls don't hang out with them either. The seagulls just snatch from them.
Yeah.
Fight the war.
It shows how man is trying to change everything, because even in religion, they want to group Muslim and Christian together. And God didn't plan it like that.
Yeah, that's right. He didn't, right. Okay. Well, let's read a few more verses right here, and we'll give you to offer some sacrifices.
Did you say that strife was envy?
Okay, strife, right. Strife, that's what Paul calls them. Paul calls it strifes of words. And strife of words has to do with a doctrinal conflict. Okay, and that's why he says that, like on your forums, particularly, okay, that those which enjoy apologetics are doing the very thing that Paul said not to do. That's called strife of words. Okay, or doctrinal conflict. Okay, you can't deal with that. Okay, so they got envy has to do with the person, the calling. Okay, envy, strife of words or doctrine, and then divisions of groups. Okay, that's what happens with sedition. And sedition, hey, those of that same mindset where we gravitate together. That's where division comes in. And it all began because of this one person, okay, who was envious. Okay, the envious person, okay, begins to sow strife, okay, conflict. And then when the individual finds those that will lend ear to that, okay, or Satan, what do? They gravitate. Okay, and then God cuts it off. Yeah. God allows it to take place to snip it. So, and of course, James is bringing that out because this is these are things that are happening, and the same thing with Paul. Paul did the same thing. Okay, well, let's finish this up here. We're not going to have time to read the whole chapter, but it's kind of fun discussing these things anyway. Okay, so verse 8, draw nigh to God, and we do that as at the altar, okay, as a mating season. And He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Watch what you touch, He says. You sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Yeah, I like that one. You know, by faith you keep your conscience pure. Okay? Because you can't stand confidence before God with a guilty conscience. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Okay? As concerning those of the moral code. Let your laughter, concerning the boasting of your achievement, be turned to mourning. In other words, burn that trophy, because it means nothing to God. You ever see that when we go to when we would go to the Salvation Army sometimes, or drop things off the Salvation Army, What's really amazing is I went in there one time in the Salvation Army. The Salvation Army has a has stores. They take donations and they resell it to the people. Okay, and so I was in. I went in there one time. I was looking for some items for the kids, and so they had all these trophies. Remember those bowling trophies? They had all these trophies up there.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, which when people pass away, they mean are meaningless, right? So I purchased all these trophies, okay? And I brought them home. And what I did is I took the plastic trophy off the marble granite,
yes.
You know, and I used the marble granite for the kids to build with. So they used marble, you know, the marble thing
slab.
There, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Slab, what do you call it? Okay, with a plastic trophy on it, spray painted with gold. But anyway, what God gives us to is real. You know, it's not spray painted. It's real. So I purchased them for the kids, and then I took the marble and used them for building blocks. The kids can use to build with. Okay. Well, anyway, so let your laughter return to mourning, okay, and your joy to heaviness. Okay, as concerning the shouting, the aspiration will be reduced by the voice of grace. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord before His eye at the altar, and He shall lift you up, of course, with grace, and will honor you with tokens of power. And he says, this is where we stopped off. Speak not evil one of another, brethren, because charity builds, but dissension depreciates. And that's what Jesus said, he that gathers not with me scatters. And he says, with me, he's talking about stewardship. And he that gathers not with my stewardship, he will scatter from the stewardship. Okay, now who would do that? A person that has envy, like Cain, Balaam, okay, or Korah. Okay, all of them were envious. Okay, as concerning why God would elect to have the shepherd Moses, okay, ex-prince of Egypt, you know, to be a leader of the people. Okay, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaks evil of his brother uses the scales of the moral code, which I showed here, to set value to his own against his own brother. What judges brother and speaks evil law, that law of grace, okay, and also by doing that brings also restrictions, which grace brings restrictions to the imagination. Okay, speaks evil law and judges law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but the judge. You're setting value to something you don't understand. There's one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. And who are you that judges another? Because God is a judge of your conscience. Says, so at whatever value system you use to judge your brother, the judge at your door also was set against you, okay, which is Christ. Okay. So the Lord says, if you judge, you will be judged. So whatever value system you use, okay, on the scale of that moral code, the judge of the conscience will say, will use the same application against you, which will tilt it this way. In other words, it will bring it back on yourself as guilt, sin. There's one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy, and who are you that judges another by on your scale for that false justification? Okay, verse 13. Go to now, you that say tomorrow, that projects a boast for the aspiration. You go to now, you that say tomorrow, and go today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Okay, to project for increase with your logic, but whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, because death comes without notice. Everything in the moral code, okay, is cursed with the presence of death. Everything in the moral code is cursed with the presence of death. Okay, so why do you want to use it? Because death devalues, depreciates, corrupts, robs. Death robs you of your beauty. It depreciates, okay, your vehicles. Okay, it also devalues everything that you do. It's consumption, okay, without increase. This is what God was showing in that first covenant. Death accompanied everything in that first covenant because it depreciated and consumed everything that you offered. Your tithing, it was consumed. Your sacrifices were consumed. Your bread was consumed. Your oil was consumed. Your wine was consumed. Your harvests were consumed. That's the presence of death. Okay, but now in the second covenant, every sacrifice you offer is another block on your building. Okay, every sacrifice, every prayer, okay, every act of charity is another building block. You cannot. Death does not attend the eternal things. It cannot attend it, cannot touch it, cannot depreciate it. Okay? So that's why you have a reward in heaven called the wages of sin is death, but the wages of righteousness is peace and life. Okay, let's finish this up. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we should live and do this and do that, by faith, that is. But now you rejoice in your boastings. There's boasting there. That's the moral code, projection of the imagination, the aspiration. All such rejoicing is evil, because Christianity does not follow this logic. Christianity does not follow this logic. That's why James is giving this example. See, the world follows this logic because to them it's wisdom. Okay, but we, concerning the kingdom of God, do not follow that logic. Okay. We live here as in a pilgrimage. Okay, but the world lives here as a memorial. We live here as a pilgrimage. We're just tourists of this dimension. Okay, a tourist does not try to establish a memorial of their presence. Okay. When you visit Paris and visit the Eiffel Tower, okay, you do not try to establish your presence there, okay, or spray your name as graffiti upon it. I was here, okay. And you don't try to establish a memorial such because you're just visiting, okay. If you're a Parisian, okay, then of course you want to establish some memorial of your presence because that's your okay, that's your environment, that's your livelihood, okay, that's your. That's your tradition, custom. Okay, but we don't have such customs, traditions, or livelihood in this dimension. Okay, so everything that we do now, okay, now has ascended into the heavens. Okay, that's why we're called strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We're strangers because we are of a different race. Okay, we're of a different race. We have a different priesthood. We have a different perception. We have a different environment we're living with now. Even though our flesh is in this atmosphere, okay, yet our heart is in heaven. Okay. Yet our flesh is in this dimension, yet our heart is in heaven. This is what Paul is talking about. Okay, even though we are in a temporal body, yet we live according to eternal terms. Okay, so therefore to him that knows to do good, when we highlight the word good in verse 17, which means a faith, okay, and does it not, to him it is sin. Okay, so but here the Apostle James is bringing our attention right here. To him that knows to do good, which means knowledge is necessary for your faith to be made perfect. Okay, knowledge is necessary for your faith to be made perfect. And with knowledge, okay, with knowledge you build and by faith you increase. Okay, with knowledge you build and with faith you increase. Okay, because by knowledge you communicate, okay, this tradition of heaven. Whereas before, you, by knowledge of the world and wisdom of the world, you communicated the world. And the world listened to you. Okay, the world only listened to you because it was in sympathy to their own survival. It was in sympathy to their own peace. That's why the world listens to the world. Okay? The world listens to the world because they're looking for that consolation of the world. Okay? But the righteous listen to the righteous because we want to hear the consolation of the Spirit, the consolation of God. Okay, in that. So to him that knows to do good in regarding to the building of God's kingdom and does it not, but rather withholds, to them is sin. Okay? Because you're tethered to the wrong kingdom. Sin is a kingdom. Okay? So if you're tethered to that kingdom, then offense will arise and you transgress against God and against man. Okay, if you're transgressing against God and against man, you're not loving God with all your heart nor your neighbor as yourself. Okay? But as we continue to use the tools of the covenant, which we're going to do right now, okay, we're going to resource the knowledge and offer sacrifices to increase the house of God with. Mm-hmm. So we're building a block upon block, okay, by these stones. Say stone upon stone and block upon block. When the tower is finished, the Lord comes and receives us. Okay, well, let's offer some sacrifices now.